Well, we continue in our series, and I'm going to go a little off topic today. A little bit, not too much. This morning is the last morning of our series, It's the Least I Can Do. And I think about that, the least I can do. Can I give you a hand? It's the least I can do. The reason I say that, I was thinking the other day, when we were doing Judgment House, I needed to get a coffin, and a friend of mine, just a gracious man, said, you can come on over to the funeral home. You can use one of our coffins. And I said, okay, just want to use it. Don't want to keep it. Just want to use it. And he said, no problem, Pastor. Whatever you guys need, you guys do. You know, and I have to say, God bless you, Grace. Your reputation precedes you. I think of Isaiah 55 where it says, if we do the things of the Lord, your name goes forth like the noonday sun. God goes before us like a noonday sun. I think that's a great thing. That God blesses us like that. So I went to pick up this coffin, and as I got there, he helped me. We loaded it, and I thought, you know, somebody will be at Judgment House. There's always somebody at Judgment House can help me unload it. And so I pulled in with the pickup truck, and there was nobody there. I said, Lord, there's nobody here. I don't want to have this in the truck for the next day. I don't want to drive around town with a coffin in the truck. That's not a good thing. And so I said, Lord, I could use a hand. You know, usually when I say to friends of mine, and you have to know, some of you that I have the privilege of, some of you that stop by and we do things together and we hang out, and I say friends, you guys have these kind of friends where you say, hey, can you give me a hand? And they stand there, look at you, breaking your back, and they go. And I go, no, really, give me a hand. They go, no, really. That's not what I'm talking about. I said, Lord, could you give me a hand here? I've got to get this coffin off of here. And sure enough, I pull in, I back up to the Judgment House, and as I'm looking around on that street and that big building, I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to get this off. I said, Lord, the first person that walks by, I'll just ask them to give me a hand. And I looked, and here's this old gentleman in an army coat with a bottle with a brown paper bag around it. And I said, Lord, anybody else? I said, no, I'm not going to, because I was going to give him a couple bucks, you know, whoever helped me. I said, I'll just give him a couple bucks. I said, sure enough, that guy will want a beer. I'm not going to ask him. I'm not going to give someone some money to go buy a beer. I'm not going to do that. As a pastor, I don't buy myself beer. I'm not buying someone else a beer. So I turned around. I went in. I opened the door. As I opened and locked the door, I kind of looked out, and the guy was passed. I said, okay, he's passed. So I walked out, and I stared at the coffin. I thought, what do I do? When the guy stops, I looked up and we made eye contact. He says, hey, you need a hand. Really? Sure. Come on over and give me a hand. I'll give you a couple bucks if you help me do this. He said, great. I was thinking I could use a beer. Really? This is really happening. And he walks up and he gets up to the truck and he looks in the back and he goes, what? And I said, there's nobody in it, trust me. And we haul it in and I reach in my pocket. I said, you know what? Thanks for helping me and giving me a hand. And I handed him the $2 and he looked at me and says, I was just thinking to myself, I could use a cold one. And I thought, I'm not even going to say, I just told the Lord, I bet he could use a cold one and I'm not going to give him to you. And isn't it amazing how God offers a hand and it's not the way we expect it. And in that moment, I said, Lord, I'm not going to do this. And the Lord said, yes, you are. Because when there's someone out there needing a hand, God is answering prayer with someone else bringing a hand. And when the two come together, it's an intersection called a miracle. And that's the cross. And don't we live in a world where we have those crosses all of the time? God is waiting to answer prayer. He's just looking for someone to give a hand. It's the least I can do. And so this morning I tell you that, because I did not expect that. And when God began speaking to my heart, maybe it's just from years of wisdom and a man carrying a bottle wrapped in a brown paper bag, wearing an army coat, looking like he was down on his luck, that I said, no way. And God said, that's exactly who's going to come up to you, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. And I said to the man, thank you. We're doing an outreach here, and we hope to reach people for Jesus Christ. God bless you. And Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. When's the last time you bought God a beer? Some of your theology right now is going, what did he just say? For some of you are going, last night. I am not being disrespectful. I love God with all my heart. I believe God brought that man into my life, and I found it to be funny. It put a smile on my heart to give that man $2 and to have him tell me exactly what God told me when I told him no. And God said yes. The reason I say that is because when Jesus went to people, he said, when's the last time you've been to prison, to naked people, to those who are hungry, and when did you go and minister to them? Because when you do the least that you can do, you have done the greatest thing that you could do. And I want to think to myself, thank you, God. Because sometimes we get the attitude of, well, they should go get a job. Well, they're in prison, they deserve it. That's not what God is saying here. God is saying, when you've done it unto the least of these, when you've gone to folks and you've brought that love of God into their lives, you have done even greater things in your life. I want to do greater things. This is the last sermon on greater things. We will have greater days. But in the series, I said, Lord, how does this play out? My phone rang on Monday. This is how it plays out. My phone rang on Monday, and a good friend of mine, I just love this guy. He's a deputy sheriff here in town, and I had the privilege in this church of one of the first baptisms that he and his wife and their two boys, and just a great family. He called me. He says, Pastor, I thought you should know something. He goes, we just got a press release. There's a funeral on Wednesday in Marine City. You probably saw it on the news. A young man who was fighting in Afghanistan. Excuse me. He was on the wall for me, fighting for my freedom. He gave his life for me. You say, how so? Nobody killed him taking his life. They killed him and he gave his life. You see, when he signed up as a volunteer, he said, I'm willing to give my life for strangers. I'm a stranger. When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And Private First Class, Shane Reifert was killed in action. And his mom and dad wanted to do the right thing at Holy Cross Church on Wednesday. They wanted to honor their son and mourn the loss of their baby. A group decided they wanted to be there too. They call themselves Christians, and here's their press release. God hates America and is killing our troops in his wrath. Military funerals have become pagan orgies of idolatrous blasphemy where they pray to the dunghill gods of Sodom and play taps to fallen fools. We will be at the funeral memorial service for PFC Shane Reifert. We will have our picket signs that will read things, thank God for dead soldiers. God hates your tears. Pray for more dead soldiers. God killed your son. Pray for more dead soldiers. Your son is in hell. They were showing up, according to this press release. He said, Pastor, I just thought you should know. Boy, thanks for letting me know. As a father, as a son who's in the military, as a pastor, as an American, thank you for letting me know. God, what are we going to do about this? And right away, God laid on my heart, and I said, no, that's not what I want to do. He said, that's what you're going to do. I said, but that's not what I want to do. He said, that's what you're going to do. I said, get me a flag, get me a banner, get me a 2x4, get me a stun gun. Deputy, can I borrow your taser? That's what I want to do. And God said, that's not what you're going to do. I said, okay, what am I going to do? And he said, you're going to intersect. I said, okay, you got it. So I got in my car on Wednesday and I drove down. On my way down, I didn't know what I was going to say or what I was going to do, but God did. And I had such a confidence. I said, God, I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do. And that was to buy some coffee and hot chocolate. Not for the soldiers. Not for the gays that were there, because the signs are anti-gay as well. Not for the military guys who were there. Not for the bikers whose jackets said, some of them said, hell is my backyard. Hell is my home. Not for the bikers who say, Christian freedom riders. Not for the people with the tattoos and the piercings all in their face. Not for the guys in the three-piece suits. What a diverse group it was. It's amazing how a cause will bring everybody together. It's interesting how we were all just Americans that day. God said, get the coffee and the hot chocolate, and I want you to walk across that picket line. I want you to sit down with these people and say, hey, it's awful cold out here. I just thought I'd bring you something warm to drink. I'm a pastor, and I just want you to know God loves you. That was what he wanted me to do. So that's what I went to do. You see, because when you're God's people, you do things differently. You see, it's easy to do hate for hate. It's really hard to do love for hate. But that's what Jesus said when he said, and when you've done it unto the least of these, now you've done greater things. And so I went down there to do that. And as I got down there, they weren't there yet, but I saw a sight that made my heart feel so good to be an American. I saw people with flags and banners lined up. I saw motorcycle riders. I saw protesters, anti-protest protesters. I saw Christians and atheists. I saw gays and straights. I saw suits and ties and piercings and goth. And they're all there for one reason. To say, PFC, you are a hero. They weren't there, and I started walking around as I looked at the streets lined up on both sides, and out in the middle were some of our finest dressed in blue. There was our sheriff's department, there was our state troopers, there were our police officers from Marine City, our finest, protecting, there to stop a riot from happening. You can imagine. And as I got there, I thought, okay, I don't see anybody here, but I'll just start walking down the middle of the street. Because my thought was, please don't beat me up, because the minute I cross that line and sit down with coffee, they're going to all say, he's one of them. He's sitting with them having coffee. And when they say, what are you? I say, I'm a preacher. And they're going to go, see, he's the pastor of their church. God, don't let me die here. I honestly thought that. Don't let people be confused. I'm here for a whole different reason. As I'm walking down the street, I hear, hey, pastor, and I look over and it's our sheriff, who's a fine man. And I've met him here, and he says, come here, pastor. And I walked over, and he's standing with all these suits and these other officials. And he said, everyone, I'd like you to meet pastor. And I went, oh, hi, everyone. You know, and he's introducing me. He said, this is one of the finest pastors I know. Wow. And I am just humbled and honored, one that even knew me and remembered me, and we'd met a couple times. But he said, this pastor, he said, Chief, this is Pastor Mitch, and you need to know this guy. This guy honors heroes and is great in this community. They do things in this community that you would not be. And that's a reflection of you, of grace and what you do. And he said, he stood there for 15 minutes and he's introducing me. And I'm standing there just humbled at the whole notion. Because I went there to have coffee with people that are hated and that hate. And when you go for the least, God begins to do greater things. And as I stood there for 15 minutes and he just took the time out of all the things he could have been doing and just talked to me and honored me in front of these other people, I thought, God, this is an honor. It really is. Thank you for this humble moment. And as I got done, I walked, as I'm walking away thinking, what just happened? I'm nobody. I didn't. And as I was going down the street, I hear, "Pastor Mitch," and I turn, and there's a lady in her late 20s, and she's got on one of these Harley kind of vests, and she's holding up a flag, and she's standing next to a guy that says, "You know, hell is my home," in this group, and she's in this group, and they're side by side holding the flag. And she says, "Pastor, how are you?" And I'm thinking, "Okay." And she says, "My mom, we were just talking about you last night. We knew you were the kind of person that would be at something like this." And I'm thinking, "Who are you? If you're here today, I'm sorry." And she said, "We were just talking about you last night. I've been looking for a church for 2 years like your church. But I live so far away up north." She goes, "I just found one that's like it." And her mom goes, "Oh, I've heard so much." And she's hugging me. I'm saying, "Thanks, mom of someone I don't know. Thank you." And she said, "We've been looking for something. We found this place. It's called The Rock in Croswell. And we've been going there." And I said, "The Rock? Well, 20 years ago, the church gave me, my wife and I opened that." And then her mom goes, "You opened it?" Ah! And she hugs me again. And then this other lady stands there and she goes, "I'm her boss. You open that." She comes over and she gives me a hug. And I walked away going, I came to do the least, and God does greater. You see, when you're obeying God, He begins to do things. And I made my way, and this kept happening. This kept happening. People I hadn't seen in 18 years, a man I married 18 years ago, goes, "Hey, you remember me?" I go, "Eric, yeah, I know you. I did your wedding." He goes, "I haven't seen you in years." And we started talking about the Lord that he'd walked away from. When you're doing the least, God does the greatest. And when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And then the deputy sheriff says, "Are you cold, Pastor?" I said, "Yes, I'm cold." He said, "Would you like to come into our special tactical unit, SWAT truck, warm, huge?" I said, "Yes, I would." So we stepped in. He goes, "I want you to meet some." So I met this guy from Channel 20 News. And he honors me. And he says to the Channel 20 guy, he says, you've got to meet, this is my pastor. This guy does some great. Our church does this thing called Reverse Christmas. You got to know about this. They're there for this story, and now we're talking about Reverse Christmas. And I tell him what we're doing. He goes, "You got to be kidding! You do what? Where's this at?" I said, "It's here." He goes, "Oh, that'd be a great story. I want to do the story on that. Can I do the story on that? We'll bring our cameras up and everything." And I said, "I came to bring coffee." When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. I will do greater things if you have faith. You see, when we put ourselves out there for God, God wants to do great things. The problem is, it's hard to lend a hand because I can lend a hand to my brother here. I can lend a hand to my sister here and love up on them because they're lovable. And Jesus says, "Wait, how about the prisoner? How about the hungry? How about the destitute? How about that person who needs a shower? That's been on the street in the rain with a sign that says, can you help me?" You bet. "Well, this Thanksgiving, I got so much food, I could help you for a week." Not in my house. I don't know him. And when you've done it unto the least of these, you've opened yourself up to start living in the miracle of the moment. You start putting yourself into greater things. Greater things will not happen in your life until you're willing to do the least of these. And that's what God wants us to do. I want to offer a lending hand. I want to offer my hand out there and say, "God, here you go." And so many times we look at people and say, not them. I have a friend, his name is Larry. When he was 19 years old in the late 60s, Larry had jet black hair down to here. He was not a hippie. He was a druggie. And he did every kind of drug. At the age of 19, the reason I say that, he was living the high life. At the age of 19, he was the sound roadie man for a band known as the Allman Brothers. Some of you have heard of the Allman Brothers. They went on tour with another group called the Doobie Brothers, and they toured, and so he was the sound roadie guy in this tour for a guy by the name of Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. At the age of 19, this is what he's doing, jet setting, buses and airplanes and all the drugs he could have at the age of 19, and he was doing it all. And Larry said at one point, they were at JFK, say 50,000 people at this concert. And he's up in this huge tower out in the middle of this ocean of people getting wasted. Friends of his. And they called and needed someone backstage. So Larry gets down, goes down the ladder, starts making his way as quick as he can through the crowd to troubleshoot. He's on his way through the crowd in the midst of all of the drugs, in the midst of all the pot, in the midst of all the people, in the midst of all the rock and roll. He's making his way, and it's like a moment happened. Remember what I said about the intersection? The most unlikely things to take place. And in the middle of all that, a guy, clean cut, steps up and just steps right in front of him and stops him in his path. And it's like he said, everybody disappeared. And this guy looked at me and said, "Hey, God loves you." And in the middle of this 50,000 ocean of partiers, "What did you say?" And he said, "I'm here to tell you one thing. God loves you." Well, Larry had, nobody had ever done this to him, let alone at a rock and roll concert. He reached down, made a fist, and reached up and punched this guy as hard as he can, right in the nose, busted his nose, and walked on. That night, he got wasted like he had done every night. He was so, he woke up the next morning, but something inside him began to eat at him. And he could hear this guy's voice, "God loves you." And just began eating at him every day. He'd get wasted, and he'd wake up, "God loves you." Finally, one day, they were in Mississippi. He says to a couple of his buddies, "Hey, I'm going to church on Sunday. You guys want to go?" "Okay." And they get up, and they put on whatever they had to wear, and they make their way to the church. They walk up to this little church in a city in Mississippi. As they walked up to the church, there was an usher standing there, a nice gentleman in a suit and tie, and he looked at him. He said, "Can I help you?" And the guy said, "Yeah, we've come to church." And the usher said, "Not looking like that. You're not welcome here. Get out." And Larry and his buddies turned around, and they walked away. Can I give you a hand? The least I can do. When you've done it unto the least, and when you haven't done it to the least, you haven't done it to me. Well, Larry, thank God that the Hound of Heaven, the Savior of our soul, the Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, never quits on us. And he kept eating it, Larry, and Larry got saved. And the reason I know Larry, because Larry and I have served on the mission field on many a trip. He and I have sat up late at night talking about the Lord. He and his wife have adopted children. Larry has traveled for 2020 in Nightline News to Europe, where he spent days and weeks in the tunnels of Europe, where over 10,000 runaway teenagers live, and they take spray cans and shoot it up their nose to get high and have no brain cells, and he finds ways to try to rescue these kids. That's Larry, because from the least of these come greater things. Can I tell you who missed out on that story? The usher and that church missed out on that story. Can I tell you who benefited from that story? Me. That's who benefited from it, because I've learned from Larry, you do the least and God will do the greatest. And not the least like I have no effort, but look into the least of these and watch what God will do when you're willing to put yourself out there. Thank God for Larry. Thank God in the hero of the guy who got his nose busted, who probably has no idea that Larry is doing what Larry is doing today. Thank God for people like you that may not be named, that walk into a crowd and someone may not know your name, but you're there in the name of Jesus to love someone, to clothe them, to feed them, to go to a prison, to pray for them when they're in the hospital or when they're homesick. God bless you, because when you've done this to the least of these, you've done it unto Jesus. When's the last time I watched some teenagers last summer in Chicago said, go find Jesus, go share Jesus. And I watched these kids go out in groups under the streets of Chicago. They were in the subways hugging and loving and praying for homeless people. A group of them went up to a cop and went up and gave him a hug. And he kind of looked at him like, "What are you doing?" "We just want you to know God loves you." What? Who knows what that cop is doing today? Who knows that it didn't change his life? Why did these kids hug me? I watched a group of kids sit on the Michigan Mile, huddle up to this guy who everybody was walking by, and share the love of Jesus with him. They sat down. They didn't go up to say, here's a couple of bucks. Please don't buy drugs. They went and sat down with this guy, and they said this, "Who are you? And how did you get here?" And they sat and listened to this guy tell his story. And when you've done it unto the least of these. And then I watch those kids pray as people walk by, as they walk by going, get out of the way, stupid church kids. And when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And I watched one of them go into the sub shop and buy him a sub and a coffee and bring it out to him. And I thought, wow, you just bought Jesus a sub. You've done it unto me. When you've done the least, God will do the greatest. If there's one thing I want you to know in this series, no, if there's one thing I want you to know in this community, is this. God has called every one of us. There's someone praying today. And God is answering that prayer. And He's asking you to look outside of that coffin window and go, no. And God says, give Him a hand. It's the least you could do. And God looks at a guy on the Michigan Mile and says, buy him a sub. Find out his story. Hug that guy in the subway. It's the least you can do. He says, hey, go up and say God loves you and get punched in the nose. It's the least you can do. And because you do those things, God will do greater things than you can hope or even imagine. God does those things. He wants us to be a part of that. Jesus did these things. He walked down the street. I'm thinking, what did Jesus do? If He were alive today, where would He go? What would He do? It doesn't take a rocket scientist. Read the Bible. He'd walk down the streets and say, oh, you have leprosy. Wow, your skin is falling off. Nobody will touch you because their skin will fall off. And you know what the word compassion means? The word compassion in the Bible means to put the skin on of another. That's the literal Greek word, compassion. And He says, take someone's skin and put it on. And Jesus went. And you got to understand, these are lepers. When the leper walked down the street, other people didn't make fun of him. Other people didn't say, look at that poor family. Other people didn't say, look at that man on the corner. Other people didn't say, boy, that guy really smells bad. Other people didn't do it. A leper had to walk down the street himself and proclaim for 100 feet, unclean, worthless, I'm worthless for the whole world. He had to say that about himself, or she had to say that about herself. And Jesus walks up. You're not so unclean. Let me put your skin on. Compassion. And He sits with the lepers, and He touches them. And the world goes, what are you doing? And He says, when you've done it to the least of these, who's going to love that leper? See, that's someone's child. That's someone's mother or father. That's someone's baby. Would you hold a baby with leprosy? Not on your life. Would you go work with an AIDS victim? Not on your life. And God calls us. When you've done it unto the least of these. When did we see you? I was everywhere. When did you see me? Give me a hand. It's the least you can do. Well, I have so much more I'd love to share. I'm so off page right now. I just want to share this with you. There are people in this world that are just waiting for a hand up. In fact, in California, off the coast in the Pacific Ocean, I think there were thousands of people floating around in a ship with no toilets or electricity on a cruise line. They could have used a hand. You know what I think giving a hand is? I think a handout is this. I think God is saying, somebody stand up and proclaim the good news. That's what evangelism is. Evangelism isn't walking up to a door and going, hi, I'm from the church. I'm here to talk to you. You don't know me. I don't know you. I haven't earned any right. But you know what? You ought to come to my church. Why? Well, because I'm standing at your door knocking on it and feeling very awkward. That's not what evangelism is. That's knocking on a stranger's door. Evangelism, the word is the Greek good news. You know what good news is? When you're on a ship and everybody's had to go to the bathroom for 5 days and there are no toilets. You know what good news is? Toilets open. That's good news. The pilgrims on the Mayflower after 65 days of being cold and hungry. You know what good news is? Land ho! And And can I tell you something? I think the world just simply needs somebody to climb up a crow's nest and say, Jesus loves you. Come on. That's the best news I think that I've ever heard. The best news is God set me free. The best news isn't that gold just went to $2,000 an ounce. That wouldn't be the best news, because gold's going to change. The best news isn't that my mortgage is paid off. That's okay news. But that house is going to get wiped out one day and I'll have debt in some other way. Who knows? That's not the best news of all. The best news of all isn't that the United States government has decided to turn the nation over to Jesus Christ. That is not the best news of all. The best news of all is that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead, sits at God's right hand, and offers you life and freedom from your sin and agony. He comes in and takes the empty way of life and fills you with peace that can't be taken away. The best news of all is stand up on the crow's nest and say, Jesus Christ has come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to set the captives free. How hungry are you? God just simply says this, can I use your hand? There was a little boy that wanted to know if God was real. He was about that age. He was in his backyard and he said to his little sister, is God real? Today at church, I asked God to come into my heart. And I prayed, I said, God, come into my heart. And the teacher told me he did. But I'm not sure. So I told God, if you're real, you got to show me. Sister, could you tell me if God is real? She says, oh yeah, God's real. Well, let's just pray. And so they prayed out there in the backyard. I said, God, come into my heart. That's what the sister said. Just pray that. God, come into my heart. And the little boy said, God, come into my heart. And then the little boy said, God, if you really came into my heart, reach out and just touch me on the head. And the little girl looked around. The little boy had his head bowed and his eyes were closed. So she reached over. And she just smacked him on the head. And the little boy's like, oh. Go around telling everybody, God touched me on the head. God touched me on the head. God's real. And that little boy believed it for all he's worth. A couple days later, they're playing in the bedroom, and he looked over to sister. He said, hey, the other day when we were praying, and I asked if God would touch me, if he's real, was that you? Was that your hand? And she said, well, it was my hand, but God asked if he could borrow it. You see, God wants to borrow your hand. It's the least you can do. The world just needs a little more love, and it starts right here. Give me a hand. You know, when I think about the Father, he gave us a hand, didn't he? He stepped out of heaven when we needed him most, and he gave me a hand. And I love him for that. You know what? I was the least. And he came. And he changed my life. Greater things happen when we step out of the grandstands and we go out and we lend a hand. In fact, here's